Welcome to Hashtag Finance Master, a weekly show where Anders Leo Lindberg discusses the latest trends in finance and accounting with a global audience via LinkedIn audio. Recorded live, anyone can tune in and take part. Just raise your hand and share the stage. Will you join Anders next time? For now, kick back, relax, and enjoy this week's show.
Welcome to another episode of the Hashtag Finance Master Show. Today is a special episode as we have Genox as a sponsor, and I'm going to have a guest with me shortly, JP Menke from Genox. We'll talk about how finance can create value through ESG. So as I mentioned, this show is sponsored by Genox. You can learn more about the state of ESG and sustainability reporting in a BARC report that Genox also sponsored. Also check out how Genox is helping companies tackle their ESG reporting requirements and understanding how they can embed ESG into their strategy and planning. So do check out Genox website for that. So we are talking about ESG, and I think it's a topic that is catapulting itself up on the agenda for CFOs, not least here in Europe where I'm based, but also of course in the rest of the world. And we'll talk about why that is. So let's get to it. I want to start asking a question here. Are you aware of CSRD? That is the Corporate Sustainability Reporting Directive. I think if you work in financial reporting, you're probably aware of this, but if you are outside of it, hopefully you're blissfully unaware of this. Why are we talking about this anyway? It's because the European Union and others is pushing companies into action on the ESG front by forcing them to report on a flurry of metrics. Kind of feels like a story we've heard before in the finance function. And if history repeats itself, we'll be reactive and overwhelmed by technicalities rather than being on top of things and using new requirements as an opportunity to drive value creation. We believe that there's a different way. We'll talk about that today. I think whenever something new comes along and it's going to impact finance, we're typically taking a wait and see approach on how this is going to impact the company. And what that often leads to is suddenly a lot of requirements coming towards finance. We're not ready for it. And we then have to take out a lot of time and effort to try and work with it, try and deal through it. And that's, of course, time and effort that we can't spend on actually advising business on how to make better decisions. So I really want for this ESG topic to not be one of those. I want us to take a proactive approach for once and figure out how to drive value creation through this. So think about that. How do we take a proactive approach? Let's try to talk about that in today's show. And for us, it really starts with embedding ESG into your strategic choices. As a CFO or senior finance leader, this is your chance to put ESG at the top of the agenda in your company. Instead of reducing it to just new reporting, let's ask, how will our company make a difference on the ESG agenda and remain relevant in the next decade? Business leaders will be forced to ask themselves this, or why shouldn't finance leaders as well? Many companies already have emission reduction targets, of course, but ESG goes way beyond this. There are countless risks and opportunities emerging on the ESG agenda, and you need to identify which are relevant to your company and put actions behind them. In short, you should embed ESG into all your strategic choices, elevate risk and opportunity management to a company-wide effort, and agree on ambitious targets and metrics. And now we got JP on stage here. JP, why don't you just go ahead and introduce yourself to begin with, and then share your thoughts on these points here in terms of what finance leaders should be doing.
Yeah, thanks, Anders. So I've been in the corporate and enterprise performance management space for more than 20 years now, and starting with really Deloitte Consulting, so more the consultative approach, already implementing specific decision-making systems and reporting, and going through different vendors and their strategies of helping companies optimize their way of managing not only their business, but competing within the ever more competitive markets. Yeah, that's my background. And I have to fully agree on what you said in terms of being proactive. Obviously, in Europe, we are being pushed, and we see that Even the early adopters who've already come up with ideas of sustainability earlier are in the process of updating ESG KPIs, and they are only now starting to integrate them more extensively into their decision-making processes. And part of being not that proactive might be that a lot of the external standards aren't, and even more so the group standards, aren't yet set in stone. So that's maybe one part of why companies are a little bit hesitant or still working on the set of KPIs. On the other hand, what we see and perceive is a need for guidance where to adjust the planning and reporting processes to be effective and get benefits out of it. As you said, value creation rather than just being a tick in the box exercise. So really looking forward to this.
Thanks, JP. And I think it's good to hear, you know, because obviously you and Jed actually speak to a lot of customers around this, and they are all sort of trying to prepare for what's coming on the reporting side. And hearing that even the early adopters are still trying to figure this out means that for all the finance professionals listening in here today, there's still an opportunity to be proactive around this. And I think that's an important message, because this is going to be a big part of our agenda in the coming decade or more even. But of course, doing this well requires that we expand our view on value creation. Gone are the days when business cases can be approved based on pure financial metrics. Since companies now need to report an expanded set of metrics anyway, they might as well be considered upfront. So if we read through the CSRD, you easily get an idea about what kinds of KPIs to consider: climate change mitigation, climate change adoption, water and marine resources, equal treatment and opportunities, respect for human rights, internal control and risk management, business ethics and corporate culture, quality of relationships with customers, suppliers, and so on. And this is just one of, I think I heard someone also in this space say that there was up to 134 KPIs, and maybe it's even more by now, I don't know, that we could potentially need to report on. That's massive, of course. And maybe some of it you're reporting on today, but probably either your systems can't cater for it, so you're in Excel, or you have no clue about how to report on this, right? So just the reporting challenge itself is going to be massive. And by all means, I'm not saying don't report. We have to, right? I'm only saying try to take an expanded role on this. But it kind of begs the question, won't it just be more expensive? And the simple answer is probably yes. However, we should dig below the surface on this one. Companies will still need to provide an acceptable return to their shareholders. It's possible that the general global return requirements, you know, if we take it up on a completely big scale here, will decrease, although it's unlikely in the short term. So instead, companies need to turn their ESG agenda into a source of competitive advantage. Finance plays a critical role in qualifying and quantifying the options that companies can choose between. Furthermore, finance should raise critical questions to answers such as, how will our outside stakeholders react to what we're doing? How will our employees be able to deliver on plans? Is what we're doing aligned with our purpose and company culture? How will these initiatives contribute to our net zero strategy? Who or what will be impacted by our business activities? These are not easy questions to answer, but to take it even further, it would be relevant for finance to develop some KPIs to measure the delivery of the answer to these questions.
Yeah, and I think relating to this development and thinking of what's more important, as you said, more than 100 KPIs, can I take a look at them all at once? Simple answer, no. So I have to prioritize. And the beauty, for example, about those new standards is that there comes this double materiality, which is exactly the means and idea of taking more than one angle on how you report, what gets measured, why, who it will be addressed to, and who will be made ultimately responsible for this. It is again one of those moments in time where from a regulatory point of view to some extent, or from a shift within the whole way of thinking, this change brings opportunity. And if you relate to what those questions are about, it's simply adding just another aspect to what you might be already doing in terms of a SWOT analysis and downstream analysis exercises to align your whole strategy and strategy execution.
Absolutely, JP. I think we have many of the tools to consider how to solve some of these challenges here, but it's definitely a new perspective, especially for finance professionals. And maybe, JP, if you can, what are you sort of seeing in terms of how companies are, let's say, preparing themselves for measuring all these new KPIs? You know, what are some of the things they need to do? Do you have some advice for them that maybe they could consider?
Yeah, absolutely. The first and foremost thing you already mentioned indirectly is the data challenge. With the amount of new KPIs comes the need to structure a lot of never before reported on data. And to some extent, this data is not even there in a structured way, or most likely will not be. For example, when it comes to really specific ways, counting exercises and things, or it was not reported on before. Maybe it's just some janitor going through a building and writing down some numbers. So this whole data gathering exercise, automating where you can automate as much as possible and supporting semi-automatic processes, is already the first struggle. And then going, and that's what we see in the market as well, is the leaders, the thought leaders, go beyond this reporting exercise requirement. They already think of managing this process, making this their own. And that is, I think, the crucial aspect to it. Not waiting for the results of others doing better, but really being proactive.
Great thoughts there, JP. And I agree, you know, let's try to go beyond the reporting, right? I think we cannot forget the reporting has to be done, but we also need to go beyond it for sure. And I wanted to maybe just take a specific example centered around one of these questions, and we'll talk about the employees, right? So how will our employees be able to deliver on our plans? I think there are three things, probably more, but let's just say three things to consider here. Number one is capabilities. Do we have the capabilities in-house to execute on those strategic choices that we're making? If not, how can we develop or acquire them? I think many companies will realize that they don't have the capabilities right now, but they will need to develop them for the future. So there are both short-term and long-term measures that you can do. Next one is capacity. So even if we have the capabilities, do we have the capacity available? If not, what initiatives should we cancel or postpone to make room for these new choices? I think this is important in today's world, where we talk about stress and burnout and even the mental health issues that it can lead to. If we just keep pushing things through without considering our available capacity, it's not going to end well. So we cannot forgo the capacity discussion. And then finally, timeline, right? So even if we are capable and have capacity at large, we may still be pushing for too tight timelines. How do we ensure we set realistic timelines for delivering on those choices? Ultimately, we want to ensure that we deliver and that we win and that we create value through ESG. A wrong step in answering any of these questions will lead to suboptimal goal fulfillment, but even worse, wear out your staff, eventually causing burnout and high employee turnover. Finance is not driving an agenda like this on its own, of course. It's a company-wide effort. However, finance can act as the neutral facilitator while contributing to constructive solutions. So what's next to drive value through ESG? It's a tall agenda for sure, to make meaningful progress, and it may require a complete revamp of your business model. We're seeing companies doing that today. For instance, in the oil and gas sector, companies that used to be black have now reinvested into the green energy sector. Now, they may still have a lot of black in them, but they're at least making strides towards that. And of course, we're seeing it across many different industries. So we'd suggest three concrete actions. Number one, a new business case model. Expand the template, new KPIs and discussion elements. Number two, new portfolio. Review your current project or investment portfolio and score them based on a new business case template. And number three, new opportunities. Scan your current business environment for new value creation opportunities. The business you did yesterday might not be relevant for your business model of tomorrow. So you'll need to find these new opportunities. Easier said than done, of course, but these are simple and tangible steps finance leaders can take today to start driving value creation through ESG. Relatively uncharted territory, there's ample opportunity to turn this agenda into a net positive. I don't know, JP, do you see it the same way, or do you have some different perspectives on this?
As you said, with a lot of trends we've seen earlier, to some extent, people might feel this is bushfires. They will go away at some point in time. Nevertheless, this is definitely something that's here to stay, and leaders are the early adopters, and they will benefit strongly from really reshaping their strategy in an ESG-tuned way, which really means taking the best out of the necessity. For example, really focusing, as you said, on the social part, on the stakeholder, on the employees part, making way for winning this war for talent battle that's getting even more extensive and will be getting more extensive. And really taking this E part as a means of shaping a better vision and, honestly speaking, marketing story as well, without going and falling into the trap of greenwashing, because this will ultimately bring you into a dead end situation. And so really thinking of where as an organization do I have already existing gaps, and how could I use such an initiative to add my gap closing to the table of topics that have to be discussed. And this is what actually most of the successful companies we are seeing right now and the more efficient ones are doing. They are not creating a new process for a new requirement, which might be end-to-end in ways of thinking. They are integrating these new thoughts into their existing initiatives, updating at best already well-defined corporate and enterprise performance management and reporting processes and tools. And this is really what we see as vendor of such technologies and solutions, is that it's more about shaping, reshaping the go-to-market and reshaping all that is necessary, as you already mentioned, the capabilities, capacities, and timeline aspects. And well, sometimes change is a good thing. Sometimes rethinking things is a good thing. And that's my final take on it. If you want to be a leader, take this as an opportunity rather than an expensive exercise.
Absolutely. It's all about reshaping, JP. I think that's a good way to look at it. And as you mentioned, you know, laggards, they will get left behind and likely go out of business. It won't happen tomorrow, but probably within a decade. It's definitely something to ponder on. So I guess the general question is, which one will you be and what will your company be? I mean, definitely questions to think about there. We'll go ahead and open the Q&A. I can see we have quite a few people wanting to come up here. So I'll just bring up a few and then feel free to share perspectives or, of course, also ask questions to JP and myself. Nikolai, welcome to the stage. Good to have you here. Thoughts on the topic of how to create value through ESG?
Yeah, thank you, Anders, and thank you, Jan-Philipp. So for me, what I think is important is to take this opportunity and not take it as a burden, to link the initiatives we can create and follow up to reduce cost. For example, if we think about the energy crisis we had over the last months or even years now, bringing the ESG topic on the agenda is a way to focus on how to consume less, pay less. So finance is really happy to reduce cost. And at the end, also, the goal of ESG is also met. So I think here's a great example on how you can use it to have more pressure on the business, but also to follow up the results through reporting. And at the end, get both results in terms of financial, but also on ESG topics. And this is where in finance, we need to really think that it's an opportunity and not a burden, because we have seen a lot of time where somebody comes and say, you have to do something more. We always think that it's useless and it's only more work. But if you take one step back and you look at the company strategy, the company competitive topics, and then obviously our society and all of our challenges, then it makes a lot of sense to work on these topics and in finance to follow up on that and track if we get positive results on these topics.
Absolutely. I just want to add one more thing to this cost aspect and the return on investment aspect. We are currently, for example, working with a prospect. I can't disclose the name, but we are talking about 2 to 3-digit millions of euros that might be reduced in terms of CO2 certificate costs, yeah, if they are going to manage their energy consumption within the group globally better, yeah. So it's not only an expensive exercise, but the ability to reshape those parts of the organization in a very efficient way.
Definitely spot on there. And Nicholas, I fully agree. I mean, it's on us in finance to link the initiatives to value creation and highlight, you know, savings or new business opportunities that have been brought about from this. And there are ample, let's say, value creation opportunities out there, but it probably requires us to think a little bit different around this. So thanks for sharing that, Nicola. Steve, welcome to the stage. Always good to have you here. thoughts on the create value through ESG topic.
Hi, Anders, Jan-Philippe. Yeah, I definitely see the importance of ESG. It's becoming a strategic imperative and very, very rapidly. The question that I'd pose to you both is, do you see more evidence that the visibility of greenwashing type behavior is accelerating and that becomes sort of a very forceful impetus for companies to try and be differentiating themselves in a positive way? So they're seen to be a leader on the ESG front for their industry.
Great question, Steve. JP, go ahead.
Yeah, we've already seen in the market companies drastically failing with their greenwashing campaigns. And so already getting a lot of bad reputation for this one. And so with the emergence and harmonization of all the reporting standards around sustainability, I think when those standards will become a more regular exercise, benchmarking and understanding of how to read those new KPIs will increase the ability to identify who's greenwashing and who's really doing what they are saying in terms of what they want to achieve. And so therefore, this helps. We already see that thinking of this negative impact helps companies to not just try greenwashing because it already failed.
Definitely. And just adding to that, JP, I think the media attention and the continued increase of transparency will keep limiting the success of greenwashing initiatives, let's say. So I don't think it's something that is going to really take foothold in the market, maybe 5 years ago, but definitely not today. So I'm not too concerned about it, but I'm sure companies will continue to try. So of course, it's something to be aware of, but it's a great question, Steve. Dilshad, please do go ahead then and ask questions or share perspectives.
Thank you very much. Good afternoon for everyone. This is a very good topic. I have a village of addressing you on a topic, the finance industry and creating value through ESG. Actually, the role of finance is very important in this case, and especially financial institutions who are a main partner of that developing and implementation the ESG with the companies, with the investment decision process, and like companies are thinking that they have a burden of that. Even already our distinguished speaker has already said that they don't think that this is a burden on that because it have been facing a little bit cost of ESG risk investment and also that. But I suggest the companies and even in my organizations as well, I am trying to convince our financial institutions and partner that they have to promote ESG practices in our organizations and in current countries as well to play a pivotal role in engaging in companies and promote ESG practices. This engagement is not burdenous for companies. Instead, it provides an opportunity to enhance their brand image, which is very important nowadays, and it can reduce their cost as well for powerful branding and reducing the need of extensive advertisement expenditures. So at the end, I say that by prioritizing ESG practice, companies can strengthen their market position, build a positive reputation.
Thanks for sharing that, Dilshad. I think we're all in alignment with that perspective. And I think, you know, why not finance professionals pushing these notions? I'm sure others will do as well. I think in finance, we definitely should also. Thank you for sharing that.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
We will turn to Mohammed for the last comment, I think, on today's show. We are a bit over time here. So Mohammed, welcome to the stage. Feel free to unmute yourself in the bottom right corner. Share perspectives, ask questions.
Thanks, time for this one, for this very important topic. But you summarize the topic in one subject from your word, which clearly the business model which you make it today, it will be not be matching with the business models which will come in the future, in the tomorrow, the day after tomorrow. The economic scale, it's coming too much fast, and you have a lot of challenge you will meet in your life now, based on the situation, the world, what you need to have. So how I can manage this and understand and making a different business module for any analysis or any financial planning which I want to make.
Thanks. Thanks for sharing, Mohammed. I think we all agree on the potential impact of this. And I think, JP, you said it really well. You know, we need to reshape how we do things, how we operate as a business, but also how we operate as a finance function. In rounding this off, JP, you know, do you have some final pieces of advice for the finance professionals listening in today? What should they be doing now to take a next step in terms of trying to create value through ESG? What are some thoughts you would have there?
I'm actually combining the last two aspects of having to reshape part of what you are doing as a business. And on the other hand, thinking of your network, your area of influence around your own company and within your company. The reshaping is really a network exercise. And that's part of the standards definition anyways. So it's the chance to reconnect with new partners. And we see even the largest groups in the world, even technology companies, starting to partner more and more because the world is getting more, our responsibilities are getting more global. So this really relates into your and our daily business. And last but not least, from an external to an internal point of view, yes, this is a data gathering exercise. And especially with the social aspects of new data, finance, and that's what Gartner is saying as extended planning and analytics, the ability to use more and more operational data within decision-making within the finance department. And this is, again, an opportunity to optimize the data you use for decision-making.
Thanks for sharing those parting thoughts, JP. I think let's just be proactive for once. I think that's my plea to everyone here. I mean, it's a massive thing coming at us, you know, some parts of the world more than others, at least for now, but it will come to all of us sooner or later. So we'll try to get practice around this, try to think about how can you reshape your role as a finance professional on the topic of ESG. How can you solve the equation? ESG needs to equal to value creation. Otherwise, I fear we won't make any meaningful progress. We continue to discuss this topic on the Hashtag Finance Master Show as we have unraveled the new version of the Finance Function 5.0. We'll continue that topic next week. But for now, a huge thanks to today's sponsor, Jedox. Huge thanks to JP for coming and sharing his thoughts. Jedox can definitely also help companies manage the ESG reporting challenge, but certainly also go beyond that. So go to jedox.com just to check out how they can do that. So thanks a lot, everyone, for listening. I truly, truly appreciate that. And also lots of great people on the stage. JP, thanks a lot. Nicolas, Steve, Mohammed, Dilshad, thanks a lot for coming on to the stage.
Thanks. Goodbye.
You've been listening to Hashtag Finance Master, a weekly show recorded live on LinkedIn Audio. Don't forget to subscribe to stay updated on the latest trends in finance and accounting. And why not join Anders every Thursday on LinkedIn to share your own views and appear in the next episode?